All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. Close to cracking 100,000 subscribers here, so super excited about this and we'll keep you posted. However, in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. In today's Friday, March 17th, and yesterday, stocks rallied as banks stepped in to help First Republic Bank, and also Credit Suisse borrowed billions of dollars from the Swiss National Bank. Then we also had the European Central Bank raise interest rates by 50 basis points. So what's happening here? Where will we end the week? And more importantly, how are we trading these markets? By the way, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we are real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience. And we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. And trust me, we know our stuff. And we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're here looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of our trading, you are in the right place. And gosh, Mark, what a week. And it ain't over yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the way things are moving, tossing, turning, up and down. What a roller coaster ride. And, you know, who would have known that the shift in focus would turn away from the Fed and data and, you know, everything and actually be about a sector like banks?
Yeah. And I don't even think that the S&P 500 tells the story. I think the VIX is telling a better story of what has been happening here over the past week, because we see that everything was okay. The Fed is watching data and doing their thing, and the fear index has been below 20, and then suddenly shooting up for 30, and now in big swings between 22 and 30, up and down like crazy, because every day we have new news.
Yeah, we're all over the place. And, you know, speaking of telling the story or not being able to tell the story, if you go to a weekly chart, you know, we feel this fear, or this concern or worry. But if you look at the S&P 500, the S&P 500 is up 1.4% for the week. The Dow is slightly negative, but it feels like it's a lot worse, right? Yeah. And the NASDAQ is actually on the verge of maybe having its best week of the year. Now, it still needs to move a little bit higher and get, you know, getting up back where it was earlier today. So it's still an impressive 4.3% gain, and it needs another 0.5% to beat its best week of the year. But still, who would have thought, when it feels like so much else is going on?
Yeah, and look at this. Now, also in the NASDAQ, we have the Golden Cross. So the Golden Cross is when the 50-day moving average moves above the 200-day moving average. A few weeks ago, we already had it in the S&P 500, and that's typically a bullish signal. So if you're going back to the NASDAQ here, and we see whenever that happened, we usually have a nice bull run here over the next few months. You see, it doesn't happen that often that we get a Golden Cross, but the Golden Cross, I don't want to say never fails, but it's one of the most reliable indicators for what to expect over the next few weeks and months.
Sure, pretty powerful. So, Marcus, do you think this bank stuff is just a bunch of media-driven attention to you know, spark some worry and concern because there's nothing else to talk about and the Fed's getting boring? Or do you think there are some real concerns here?
No, you see, at first when we talked about just SIVB, Silicon Valley Bank, right? I mean, this is when it looked like, okay, isolated incident. A few days later, we had Signature Bank coming into play. Then also Credit Suisse. Now, Credit Suisse, we talked about this. This is definitely something that has been going on for years. It just surfaced right now at the right time. But I think the next really big one is First Republic Bank, because that has been in the news and dominating the news ever since Silicon Valley Bank collapsed. And yesterday we had banks pledging $30 billion to help out First Republic Bank. But it seems that they are still on very, very shaky grounds. Now, this is where, you see, SIVB, okay, isolated incident. Signature Bank, somewhat connected. But now if we have possibly a third bank fail, I mean, with this... there is something going on, and I believe that it's all connected to the yield. But before we talk about this, so what's your take on this?
Well, I agree. I think that, you know, what's happening is investors have lifted up the hood, and you're looking at some people looking under the hood that don't know what to look for, and they're thinking, can this be fixed? Or, you know, where's the problem? And I feel like we're kind of on, I don't think we're on the brink of this major catastrophe. And I think that if there are some big concerns, that they can be addressed appropriately. But I think that this fear or worry or uncertainty is valid. And I think it's why these banks were headed into the weekend down, because people don't want to be long banks going into the weekend. Because like you said, with First Republic, they actually had some money committed to them. JP Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America, they deposited $30 billion to help the bank out. You had other banks helping out with $5 billion a piece. The $5 billion a piece. You had other banks like U.S. Bancorp, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, Truist Financial, and PNC Services, a bank that we invested in recently, also helping. So it seems like there are some people coming to the rescue, and we just hope that those are stable banks as well.
One thing is for sure. What really happened here is that interest rates are completely out of whack, and the Fed's plans are dead in the water right now of what they plan to do. Look at this. Last week we talked about the 2-year yield climbing above 5%. Then, it's almost like a seismograph this week, what looked here, and now again below 4%. And this is right ahead of the Fed meeting next week, where the Fed said, well, we keep an eye on the inflation data, the CPI report, the PPI report, the core PCE report, also the jobs market and the housing market. And suddenly they need to take their eye off the ball and follow another ball that suddenly came into play, which is the banking and financial sector.
Yeah, the flight to safety, flight to bonds has definitely been the theme since last Thursday, Friday. Also, looks like gold's making another move to 2,000 an ounce.
Yeah, gold, look at this. Trading at levels that we haven't seen since April 2022. But I think the other winner from all this chaos here are right now cryptocurrencies, if you look at that. Because Bitcoin right now, take a look at this. Bitcoin now trading well above 25,000. This morning trading as high as 27,000, a level where Bitcoin hasn't been since June 2022. When we first heard about FTX? I think this was the FTX collapse here, right?
I'm not sure, but this is where crypto traders are going, banks failing, this is our moment.
Exactly.
This is what they've been waiting for.
Exactly. And then talking about the Fed, we got to take a look at the Fed here right now. So right now the probabilities of a 25 basis point hike is again at 75%. And this was subject to change here all the time. This moved like crazy. And I think when we bring up this table here, this is for entertainment purposes only, because it almost changes hourly, because it shows us what the Fed or what traders think the Fed will do over the next few months. And this is a completely different picture than we saw just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we saw that the Fed was, at least the probabilities essentially were saying two more hikes, and then it would stay put for a while to try and, really help the inflation worry and issue. Now it looks like investors are saying, hey, we need things to drop. The Fed's going to start dropping rates after they have that peak right there, holding up until June. And like you said, it's for entertainment purposes only, because right now the issues with the banks have really kind of thrown a, a wrench into the Fed's plans. And I think that it's going to be some fireworks. Good or bad is to be determined. But I think there's going to be some wild movement after the Fed next week, because they're also going to be updating their dot plot. So what they believe will likely happen, or what their target will be moving forward.
Yeah. And I mean, this comes after Powell just last week said, we still have a lot of work to do to tame inflation, meaning that interest rates would go higher and further and stay up there for longer. I mean, this is what he was, the message that he was giving us over the past few weeks. And this message is probably going to change next Wednesday. So we are only 5 days, 3 hours, 49 minutes away from the Fed meeting. So the countdown is definitely on.
It is. And in the meantime, tech's rallying. Go figure.
Tech is rallying. Not today, though. So if you take a look at the S&P 500, a five-minute chart. So we opened around the unchanged mark from yesterday, have been sliding here, very similar to the NASDAQ. And before we take a look at our positions, I think we should take a look at the economic calendar for a moment, because there were more news today, usually something that traders would really welcome and say, hey, this is awesome. So let's talk about the University of Michigan consumer sentiment and the inflation expectations.
Yeah, so preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment dipping, coming in lower than forecast, also lower than the previous reading. And that inflation expectation coming down a little bit. So is this good news or is this bad news?
Well, I mean, usually the markets would react strongly to this because, okay, inflation is coming down, the economy is slowing down. That's exactly what the Fed want. And this is where the markets were then hoping that the Fed would actually strike a little bit more dovish tone. But again, today, everything is overshadowed by First Republic Bank here and the banks. So this is why, if you look at a five-minute chart here for a moment, we see there was this little quick push up like, hey, yeah, they were good news. But then, no, we still have a banking crisis going on.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about our positions. Let's see what's happening here, what we are doing. So first up here, CTRA, a little bit all over the place. If you look at CTRA yesterday, a massive day, up 3.2%. Today, slightly down 1.7% over in line with the markets. My break even here at 24.06. So let's see what happens there. This today is actually can be attributed to a slide that we had in natural gas. So if you're looking at natural gas today, down 5%, and crude oil still making new lows. If we take a look at this here, so crude oil sliding, trading well below 70 at a level that it hasn't been trading since November 2021, actually. So this where there's some weakness in oil and gas here.
Yeah, interesting move. I mean, this is also, you know, do we have recession fears, right? Will economic activity slow, and the demand for crude oil, if that is true, will be lower, getting down to those levels. I thought it was interesting. I thought I had notes on this, but Goldman Sachs, they actually, I do have notes on this. Before all of the banking stuff, they had odds of 25% that the U.S. would dip into a recession in 2023. But with the bank runs, failures, and volatility, they now have increased the odds to 35% because of near-term uncertainty. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, crude oil, gosh, at the beginning of the year, there was talks of another run to 100, but that is not the case. You got to trade what you see, not what you think.
Exactly. So right now we're trading here with CTRA, Coterra Energy, into the support level of 23 again, holding up right now. And this is where, see, sometimes when we look at the bars, and we like to look at bars, they tell a different story than if you would just look at the closing prices. You see, at the closing price, you see that the 23 level actually holds fairly well, but then there's some intraday volatility. That's what we like to see here as traders. Now, talking about this, also Oxy. I mean, Oxy had a phenomenal run yesterday. I closed my 55 put that was expiring today at 90% of max profits. And what about you? Did you close it or do you, still have it open?
I didn't. I still have it actually. And I was watching that one because the 55 for next week still looks good and kind of on the fence whether to position myself in a few more positions prior to the Fed or not.
Yeah, exactly. Because there will be volatility next week, no doubt about this. And the Fed meeting can send markets dramatically up or down. So for sure. Yeah, then also looking at the Googles. I mean, the Googles here on a tear, even today, against the grain, they're still up 1.2%. This is fantastic. I mean, right now, trading close to my break-even point, and a few more days like this, and I can sell calls against my signed position at 108. So let's see how this is going. But I mean, tremendous run for Google here.
Yeah, that's looking good. Would you consider selling calls between break-even and your cost basis?
You know what? Not with everything that's going on next week, because I believe that next week, again, the markets could massively rally depending on what Powell has to say, or that they could drop down. And this is where I don't want to really get called away or have to scramble. Because look at this move here. Google over the last, last week or week and a half, actually, this is a move of 15%. I mean, that's a pretty big move. And it seems that right now, nothing can stop this move yet. Even a down market like we have today, Google's still up. So super, super strong. That's where I don't want to get caught with my pants down and having to scramble to defend a position here.
Yeah, you know, a similar scenario for me with AMD, but I did the opposite. I decided that with such a substantial run over the couple of days, few days, I decided to sell the one-on-one calls, get some premium there. I was assigned at 104. You have that marked. My break even around 94, 95. And this is still working out, as I planned, in the sense that I could still roll that 101 if we get closer to it. But a little premature because, the stock moved $3 higher after I sold those 101 calls.
Yeah. And you see, this is what I want to avoid with Google. I've been in this trade for quite a long time, so I'm not in a rush right now to collect a few cents of premium. This is where really want to make sure that I'm keeping all of the premium. Okay, we have a few more positions to go through, but if you find this helpful, do us a favor and give us a like. And if you haven't yet, subscribe to the channel, because look at this. We have the live ticker here. And right now, we just got another subscriber. So we are 103 subscribers away from 100,000. So we're super excited about this. So if you could help us out, tell your friends, subscribe, because then we can hopefully celebrate it together with you next week, live here. Hopefully, we'll see. We're getting so close. All right. So back here. So that's the Googles. IWM. So we traded this actually a couple of days ago, and I closed mine yesterday. We were at the 164 that we sold, right?
Yeah, I closed mine too. It was like 88% max profit. My plan is 80% on a one-day trade, 90% otherwise. It was a one-day trade, actually. So able to close that real quickly for a nice gain.
So this worked out really well. And then there's PNC, and PNC today down again. And this is just the volatility that we see. Yesterday, up 4%. Today, down 5%. So that's still the volatility in the banking sector. So originally, we got assigned at 147. I bought a few more shares to bring down my cost basis to 141.50. You did it a little bit later than me. So at a lower price, your cost base is at 136. So, yep. I mean, we'll see how this shakes out. And I do kind of believe that this could be a V-shaped recovery that we see here, not a dramatic drop and then a slow recovery. I think this could be a rather quick recovery. So obviously not yet happening, even though we had some attempts over the last few days. Seems that the line in the sand here right now is the 120 as support, and we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, I this could snap back quickly. I really think that, I think there was some positive news over the last 2 days with, where we go from here. But I think there's just that what if uncertainty going into the weekend. and then also with the Fed next week. So, you know, we'll see where this goes, but I like my 136 cost basis and willing to manage this trade.
Yeah. So
there was another one I did, Marcus.
Huh?
Marriott.
Marriott, right. You did this trade. I skipped this one, but you did a Marriott trade. How is that working out?
I'm out of it. Yeah.
You're out of it. You closed it.
More to mastermind members that might be watching because I updated the spreadsheet, but this was another nice one-day trade closed at, I think, 87%, 88% max profit. I sold the 147 there 2 days ago and closed it yesterday.
Yeah. And I mean, today there's no shortage of stocks that you can sell puts on. I mean, there's just all of these popped up a little bit later. But I mean, even if you go for good old American Express, look at this. American Express, you can sell puts at 145. I like this. Citigroup here. If you just zoom out a little bit, go for Audi. Auto, you can sell puts at 39.50. Capital One Finance, like this here also at 80. Then we have energy. I mean, ConocoPhillips, Oxy, we talked about this. Back to financials, Discover Financial Services. I mean, we can just go down the list. Today is really, if you are into it, shopping day. So we're pretty full here with our position, so therefore not much for us to do, and especially seeing what's happening next week.
Should be a fun one.
All right. So yeah, again, if you like it, give us a like, subscribe to the channel, and then also we have a few more videos for you right here. Take a look at this and have a great weekend. Tune in again on Monday because next week will be a wild one. So we'll see you then.
Happy trading, everybody.